my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, where we stay ready so you don't have to get ready. I'm Emeka, your host, and this podcast is all about real estate, investing in real estate. I invest in multifamily, and I'm here to show you that regular people can invest in real estate. You don't need to have billions or millions. It's regular people like you and I who can invest in real estate today. So on this podcast, you'll hear from myself, as well as I'll bring different real estate professionals on from around the world to talk about their investing journey, strategies, market insights, or how they got into real estate, so you can get started today as well. Stay ready, my friends. Hope you enjoy.
Do you want to tell the world a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, my name is Chukwuso Oputa, but everybody call me Chuck. I am basically all things wealth building and associated with real estate. So me and my wife own a real estate brokerage. We like to call ourselves real estate developers. We build, we flip, we do all the nine, trying to revitalize underserved communities. And then I am an executive director of a nonprofit, again, in real estate, helping people that cannot afford remodels to get the capital to, you know, do remodels for their homes.
I love that. I love that. And for the world, we all used to work, you and I used to work for the same company, and then I saw you kind of drift away. So how did this all start, and where did the passion come from?
Man, so that's a long story. I'll try to make it short. working in the same company that we worked for, I got hired on to that company, I think in 2011. And I got placed as an assistant manager at a very affluent area in Dallas. And there is where I think the bug began to bite me, as I started to just be curious, start asking wealthy people, you know, hey, what did you do to get rich? What did you do? And the reoccurring theme I kept hearing was investing. So that made me kind of look more into investing. What does that look like? And real estate stood out to me. So I instantly wanted to build houses. I instantly wanted to start to, you know, buy more real estate properties to give me passive income. And 2016, my first real estate deal was a wholesale for a lot. And from then on, it just kind of launched from that. So.
No, I love that. And you had a full-time job while we were doing this. I know a lot of people who were, you know, telling us like, hey, like, I'm too busy. I can't do this. I can't do that. But you're proof that you can. So how are you able to manage both?
Man, it was one, I had a partner, my wife. So my wife, she's a real estate agent, now a broker. And it really helps to have that type of partner to help you kind of like, while I'm working my 9 to 5, she's looking at properties. She's going to see what's up for sale. She's contacting, doing whatever the 9 is, but just really balancing and scheduling your time adequately to be able to manage both areas. I have to say it was a passion of mine. So, you know, some people's passion is to go golf after work. My passion, I went straight into real estate. I was, you know, looking up, reading books, trying to get all the knowledge I can, because it became a real passion for me. So for me, the side hustle at the time was a real love passion for me. And I think that's what motivated me to try to balance both.
I got you. Can you tell us a little bit about your portfolio or the transaction that you've done since you got started?
Yes. So, man, we're very diverse. we've done everything from built ground up developments. We've built residential homes. We have a portfolio of many rental properties, duplexes, which some of them we have flipped and sold by now. Our vision is to do development. So a lot of my real estate portfolio that I do accumulate, I end up selling to get into bigger deals, to buy bigger lots, to buy bigger land so that I can, you know, continue to climb this ladder of real estate development. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I love it. You're based out of Tulsa right now, right?
Yes, Tulsa. I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Of course. So I know it's part of the passion is, you know, obviously help people that look like you and me. And that's kind of what's fueling things like that. You want to talk a little bit more about that, why it's important to you, especially in Tulsa, because we know about the Tulsa massacre. So yeah. I think it'd be very, very important for the audience to kind of see what you're doing, how you're doing it, and how you're trying to, you know, bring up our community for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the story, it kind of goes back to my story. I started out looking at investments, and when as an investor, real estate investor, you with no money, let me say that. No money, no, not the best credit score. You look in the most affordable areas. And those affordable areas, as I began to research and understand, were areas that were purposely disenfranchised, purposely investments were taken out of these communities. So that's why the houses don't appreciate high enough until the city looks at it and says, hey, you know what? Actually, we think we want that back. And we're going to do something called urban renewal. And we're going to push the indigenous that live in there out and start buying up their stuff on pennies on the dollar. That became a problem for me. A lot of the world calls it gentrification. So for me, where the bug bit me, it was actually in Dallas, and I started to see myself transition from just wanting to be a novelty investor, buy up a bunch of rental properties, to like, hey, what does it look like for people that look like me going back to the communities in which some of us grew up in and left, and revitalize those communities the right way? Like, why does it have to be somebody else come and push out the people that has been roots in for generations, and somebody else make the fabric of that community be different than what it is currently? So for me, that's where I started to get into more of the development side with a passion to doing community-centered development, which what that means is like I'm looking to do three things: add amenities to these neighborhoods that necessarily don't have amenities. Like, we talk about food deserts and things of that nature. The second thing is to add more quality housing stock. I don't want to just be a slum lord. I want to come and put properties and homes that are obtainable and that people can be proud of. And the last thing is, how do I take care of the people that are there where they're not pushed out? And that's where this nonprofit come into play, where is we want to help people do equitable, what you call it, equitable remodels to their homes. Homes that give their homes value. I mean, remodels that give their homes value, if I should say. So that's what it means to me as far as like when it comes to my community, looking at history and the systemic things that our country has done to groups of ethnic people, such as African Americans. Tulsa is a prime example of that. With the race massacre, 1,256 homes were burnt down. What that means is that's 1,256 homes of, or 1,256 vehicles of wealth that was literally burnt down. Insurance did not help these families build it back. They created policies to ensure that they did not build them in the same equitable way that they did. And then to come on, when you go into the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, things like redlining began to start to take investment out of these communities. So basically, it was strategically and purposely, these people were purposely put into, silos where they could not generate wealth. And for me, that's where I found a problem with it. I couldn't just be an investor anymore. I was like, nah, I got to invest with an intention. I'm going to go back into these communities and ensure that I can help somebody, great, great, great granddaughter or great, great, great grandson, get back to what they had in mind as far as wealth through real estate.
I love that. I love that. I've looked into it as well. I know the people, other guests on the show have also looked into, how to help out the inner cities is what I like to call it, right? The truth of the matter is, they were set up, right? For, I would say, the number one way to build wealth in the most common way is real estate. Right now, you have inner cities, as you just mentioned, because of redlining due to the systematic, I call it systematic racism, let's just call it what it is. Due to that, now these, people like me or the generations below have been inherited this land, but they don't have enough money or they don't have the right banking to fix it up. Because of that, the entire neighborhood tends to look the same way. So from a novelty investor, people aren't looking at that because they don't think they can fix the neighborhood. You have obviously figured out that special piece to not only make it an investment, but to make it a long-term play for everyone involved. So how are you able to, bring in the nonprofit, bring in your strategy in order to not only just make money, but to give back to the community, to help the city, because no matter what the city says, they're making money off the taxes
Oh,
because you're
yes.
increasing the tax value. So how are you able to, intermingle everything where you're not just giving, but you're also, making a return?
This is the way I look at it. If you, it's almost like, how can I describe it? It's almost like being the control, like almost getting, putting yourself in a controlling position, right? If I can make the houses next door to the new home I just built look beautiful, that makes my house more desirable for more people to move there, right? If I can create more amenities that make, general people in our age group that want the Starbucks, that want the nice stores and things like that, I can make, I will help bring that into that environment, right? So basically, and guess what I'm saying is like each one helps the other. I think a lot of people get in this streamlined thought process where it's like it's either this or that. And that's not the case in my mind. It's just, it depends on who is the one that's doing it, right? So for me, being African American, and I can definitely relate to the individuals that live in this community, it's a little more heartfelt and a little more intentionality. That's the word I'm looking for when I'm investing into these communities, when I'm trying to go through city planning. Now, all that said, it's an uphill battle. Right. It's an uphill battle because you are investing in an area that does not give you the greatest return, right? You're not looking at high margin returns in these type of areas when you're coming in and flipping a house, or when you're coming in and doing rentals and things like that. So you have to be having the long game in mind, right? For me, it's like, how many properties can I do? Even if I'm making this much money, if I make these many properties look well, now it's a race. I make these many properties look good, then after a while, the profit will start to increase. Now it's a numbers game versus one. So that's the way I see it. And I think it's creating an ecosystem, if you will, relating everything together and being able to show investors, because I am appealing to investors when it comes to larger developments, such as building a strip mall with, some shops and things like that. But like, hey, here's the play. Here's what the city is doing. Here is how it would help this custom home builder increase the property value here, and in the same way, not push out the people that are here by using a nonprofit to go in and help them
I
capture that.
love it. I love it. And then as you're buying each property, your stock tends to go up, and now the city and now other investors who probably didn't believe in you to begin with, they're starting to see, okay, now he has that. Now that's his area. Now they're able to help you or try to figure out a way to, quite frankly, get a piece of the pie, get a piece of the pie. And I love the fact that you said it's a long game, and that's your whole goal here. What is your next 5 to 10 year goal with this strategy?
So for me right now, my focus is on North Tulsa, which is where Greenwood District lies. It was dubbed Black Wall Street. And our focus in this area with the city, new mayor's initiatives, is to build a certain amount of homes, a large amount of homes into North Tulsa by 2030, I think it is. I want to get in that, and I want to build my reputation of building those homes, helping build more home housing stock, and then turn around and work with other developers to basically revamp the fabric of North Tulsa by making it a hub where people want to come and live and people want to come and move. My goal is to help my nonprofit remodel and help people obtain and maintain wealth through giving them subsidies as far as like $10,000 towards remodeling their properties, or $10,000 as down payment. I keep saying this wrong, but a down payment assistance. And yeah, so that's what I'm looking like. That's what I'm looking forward to in 5 years. I hope to scale to a point where it's easier to obtain bigger bank loans. That's where I'm looking at now. Like, how can I have the vision, I have the goal, but how can I scale to a position where now I have a relationship with financiers and relationship with investors that they're like, hey, Chuck, what's the next deal? Okay, 300 acres, subdivision, this, yeah, let's do it.
I love it. And how are you for, I know a lot of people who don't want to invest just because of the money. They want to have a purpose like you do, but it's hard to balance the two. What are you doing? What partnerships are you creating to make this a viable option for not only you, but maybe someone who's in, I don't know, North Carolina who wants to do the exact same thing? What are the people or businesses you would recommend people to reach out to start this in their own city?
So here's what I would say. First, let me speak to the mindset that, I'm not really, I don't have the money to make the investment, or I am a person of faith that believes that when you seek purpose, when you seek a mission, monies follow. Why is that? Because income is released to people who can solve problems. So there's a book that I read before. I can't remember what the name of the book was, but if you are a person that is consistently trying to figure out, like, okay, how can I solve a problem? even in investing. Like how can I solve you're solving a problem in investment. Think of that way. There is a housing shortage in the United States currently today. So you rehabbing dilapidated products or homes and making it livable again is you solving a problem that the US needs. So don't I would encourage people not to think of it as like, oh, you know, I just want to, I'm more mission focused, but mi the mission and the vision is put on your heart and it will be funded, you know. Nothing's free. I mean, every shoot, you could name the greatest, wealthiest of people in the world, and you know, you got Amazon, you got Steve Jobs. These were problem solvers, and that's why they made the money that they make. If you get up every day to solve a problem, you'll be wealthy. So that's what I'll say to that. As far as organizations and groups, there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of nonprofits. Habitat for Humanity is one that you can, you know, plug into. As far as to help with investing, go to your REIT groups, but and then holler at me over here at 1256. I can give you the blueprint. I don't know of any like organizations, but I do know about city coalitions. So like I know Atlanta has one. I know Nebraska had a citywide coalition for their neighborhood to basically revitalize and develop their communities. So it is a city and activist partnership within these type of communities where people are coming together to try to revitalize and rebuild communities that have been historically disenfranchised.
No, beautiful. And one thing I want to add to that is I know here in Florida, I'm in the process of building an eightplex in St. Petersburg in a community redevelopment agency area. So referred to as CRA, and they are typically in inner cities, the ones that we've been talking about this entire podcast, and they have an extra amount of funds that are more than the city that are typically in every single state or city. So I don't know if you've already looked into that, but for the audience, that's definitely something to dig deeper into, the
And I would
CRA.
CRA also, I don't know if they're called the same thing, but they're called community development funds or CDFIs.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, CDFIs are something else that you could look up. And I might be messing up the what the acronym stands for, but it's kind of same thing. They're mission-based funders. So when you talk about trying to get the dollars to do the things that you want to do, there are funds out here that you can tap into where you just send your portfolio. Hey, my goal is to revitalize 12 homes in this area for lower income people so that they can have a place to live. And they're not so geared towards your credit score or your business or anything like that. Just want to see what you have done. Can you sustain what you're trying to do? And I mean, there's so many dollars out here when you start looking at doing mission-based real estate investments.
One of the best things that I'll take out of this is you said that the money is second, and you mentioned Steve Jobs, there's John Hope. Like they had a mission first, and then you're just so passionate about that people will follow, and the money will always follow. It can't only be about the money, and that's something I'll always preach, is figure out the mission, figure out the why first, and then everything else will come through. And with that, give the audience three actionable steps that they can do today in order to get to those goals.
Actually, man, you hit on one. I am a huge advocate for vision. You know, the first thing, anything that you do begins with vision, or you won't do it long. If you don't have a vision for it, if you don't have a passion for it, you won't do it long. You won't find the passion to get up every day and pursue it. You won't find the passion to go through adversity. You know, when you do take that loss on the first property, because it will come. When you take that, you know, when you put an investment in something, it's a money pit. What's going to keep you going to go find that next deal? So I always tell people to get a vision first before you try to jump into this thing, real estate investment. Then the second thing, actually, because a lot of people typically, I'm just going to say this from a standpoint of that I'm hoping that you're doing this, are doing the research, doing the legwork of studying first, but you can only do that for so long until you just need to jump out there. I think the biggest fear for a lot of people is just doing the first deal. So that's the first two things. If you can get a vision of what you're trying to do, and it could be anything. I want to keep generational wealth for my children. I want to be able to have more time with my family. So I'm looking to scale back from working and getting into something that's going to bring me residual income every day. It don't have to be Everything that I'm saying it is today for me. And some of those things are in line. That's why I started to look into real estate investment was the time piece, was the, the wealth creation piece. But the mission started to pull at me because I'm a man of vision. So once you have that vision, once you have that, once you got enough information to start, my last thing is be the best networking individual you can be. So I just set you up right there to have people to get on board with what you're doing. Because if you got a vision and you're passionate about it, you're jumping out there, you're probably gonna need some help. Now somebody not only has a plan that you have already created because of your vision, they have something that you're already trying to do or a goal that you're trying to reach. Now you start to see where people start to throw dollars at you. People gravitate towards vision. People gravitate towards purpose-driven people, people that gets out there and try it. And that's where you find the different partnerships that are needed to do whatever work you're trying to
Mic drop. And with that, we're going to move on to the next segment of the show
do.
where I ask everyone the same three questions.
Yeah.
Number one, what are the two books you recommend an aspiring investor to read?
Man, so I saw that question and I got a lot of them. I'm an avid Audible reader. I was a sales rep and I used to be in my car every day just listening to Audible books. But the main one that I feel like you probably have heard this on your podcast before, but what it did for me was it transformed the way I thought about money and the way I thought about what wealth looks like. And that's Rich Dad Poor Dad, obviously. So Rich Dad Poor Dad was one of those first initial books back in 2016 that I read. I'm gonna give that one to you as a freebie, but I would like to give you two more that I like. And the first one is, I'm gonna butcher his name, so I'm gonna look it up because I'm always butchering this man's name. But the first one is The Color of Law. That kind of goes with
That's a great book.
we're talking about now. That helped shape what I was facing when I'm talking about being a person of color and a real estate developer. And The Color of Law is written by Richard Rothstein. And then there's another book that I really love when we talked about how can you redevelop a community and make money and bring up the community as a whole. I like Reclaiming Our Community by Majora Carter, who's a Brooklyn African American female doing development. I think she's from Brooklyn. She might hit me in the mouth if I got that city or that neighborhood that she's from wrong, but I think it's Brooklyn. But anyways, this her book is called Reclaiming Our Community, and that's by Majora Carter, and it's a good book to get into too. So those two books for me, the reason why I say get those books is because it just gives you the landscape of how policy shaped the wealth gap that we're living in today and how real estate was the main piece at that. Not just from the redlining and the systemic policies, but also from the brainwashing and how we view these communities. I challenge people when they look at the inner city communities and seeing them as some place that is not worth anything or that people there are not proud of where they live or anything of that nature. I challenge you to look at these two books and reshape your thinking about these communities because there is opportunity there, and there's opportunity to not only just make money, but to give a to make a change.
I love that. And just to put another note to that, The Color of Law is a great book because it's not, we're talking about this and we're talking about it as it's for, black people, but it really strictly talks about the actual laws, talks about the laws, what they place, exactly what it did, and it actually gives factual statistics to kind of back it up. So I think that's why I really like that book. But second question is, what has been the most impactful speech or lesson that's helped you in your career?
Man, I'm a person that loves speeches and sermons and all different things. So a lot of things speak to me. I feel like God speaks to me in so many different ways. It's not necessarily a speech, so I'm gonna go to another book because that book just kind of profound me. And I actually wrote the quote down, and I'll talk about it real quick. So this is a, I guess you can call it a speech, but the quote that this man said in his book. All right, so Wallace D. Wattles, The Science of Getting Rich. This is another book that was written many years ago, and he was a free thought person. What he wrote is the formless stuff responds to the needs of man. It will not let him be without any good thing. That statement alone is, to me, is biblical, and it sets in place with the lack mindset. I think early on you asked about how can, how do you balance two things? How can you, people that maybe don't have a lot, loads of money, you can do this. Because when you have a vision or when you set your mind, that's all vision does is it sets your mind to a goal. According to this writer in his speech from his book, he says that, the formless stuff responds to the needs of man. What is the formless stuff? That's all the matter that's around us. The earth did not just come from somebody working. The earth came into existence from a word. I believe that, right? And I believe that everything in the earth is there for man's needs. That's why the earth was made, then man was put on it. So the earth has already got everything you need. The mindset of abundance, and that's what Rich Dad Poor Dad for me, it helped introduce the mindset of abundance for me, is like, hey, at some point, if I keep working at it, something will give way. It has to. That's just some people call it the law of attraction. That's just it. So that shaped, that quote there shapes my mind every day, even when I face challenges. It's like, hey, I have everything I need. And if I don't now, it's coming.
Third question. If you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would
Yeah.
it be and why?
Man, there's a lot of people I would love to sit down and pick their brain. The most person that I think I want to sit down and talk with right now, man, dead is Herman J. Russell. H.J. Russell is one of the largest African American owned construction firm, developer firm. And I would just like to sit down and just, he's not here. His son runs the company now, but Herman J. Russell, I think his first name is, was a huge, huge person that really helped with Atlanta's development. His hand has everything to do with what Atlanta looks like today. From his construction company, from how he helped African Americans get into development and real estate development. And that's my passion to one day be like him and help others climb this journey because it is obtainable.
I'll definitely have to look into him. I just pulled him up here. I'm like, I've never heard of him before, so I think that's an
Yes.
issue. So I'll definitely look at it. But thank you so much for joining the show. I
Problem.
think the audience is
Yeah.
going to love it. How can we reach out to you? How can the audience help you? What are you looking for? Let us hear it.
Yeah, man, I have a vision and a goal this year to help. I think it's how many families? 50 families in the North Tulsa area have well-needed remodels done to their homes. So this is 1256 Movement is the name of my nonprofit. Our passion is to help revitalize communities by giving people, donations to help them remodel their homes. Some people need roofs. I mean, some of these people are living in homes with roofs that are leaking. Some of these people are living in homes with insufficient plumbing. Their things is backed up every day. They might as well have an outhouse. It's a lot of different things that we've ran into. And my passion is to grow our nonprofit so that we can help more people in North Tulsa as the city focuses on revitalizing that community. I want to make sure that these people who live here get to keep the wealth in their family. So you can look us up on 1256movement.org. We have a LinkedIn page now. We also are on Instagram. If you want to look us up about real estate in Tulsa, you can go to AOG Real Estate. That's the name of our real estate brokerage. They have a website. I think you just Google AOG Real Estate. Don't give me the line. I know it's AOGRealestate.com. Instagram is AOG. And then just to see the work that we're doing through our real estate development and construction company, that's Kingdom Visions Investments or Kingdom Vision Homes. You can find that on Instagram and LinkedIn as well.
Perfect. I will put all of that in the show notes so everyone will
Yeah.
always have access to it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, and I hope to have you back again soon.
Yes, for sure.
Thanks for tuning in to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, where we stay ready so you don't have to get ready. If you enjoyed this podcast today, please give me a like and subscribe and tune in next week so you can hear another one. If you ever want to reach out to me, I'd love to talk to you about real estate. If you're ever interested in any of the deals that I have, I'm based here in Central Florida, reach out. My information is below. Hope to see you next week. Stay ready, my friend.